Always, every time I hear this, I think of my buddy Jeff. I'm sorry, but I just do. Hey, Jeff, thinking about you. Anyway, no, we're not having a hot and sordid romantic situation, I assure you. Anyway, welcome. It's Bowerly. I mean, not yet. I'm working on it. But on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hope he's laughing. Anyway, welcome to the show. And we have been talking about breast cancer. Because it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I think you know how I feel about all the pink. Pink here, pink there, pink there. To me, it's like 31 days of reliving post-traumatic issues for a lot of people. And some of the women, in fact, all the women I personally know who've had experiences and close encounters with breast cancer are not on board with the whole, let's make October the pink month. Does it really have to be the same month as Halloween? Just ponder that for a moment. But anyway, I digress. We've been hearing stories today from people, both men and women, whose lives have been affected by breast cancer. And again, it can affect one in 1,000 men. About, what, 2,500 new cases every year of men with breast cancer. It can happen to men. And I'm just sitting here, like I'm actually doing a breast self-exam right now because it's not usually an area of my body I spend a lot of time thinking about, to be honest with you. And I believe I'm an A cup. but anyway, welcome to the show. 803-0930 is the phone number. Star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Now, I want to branch out this topic in the final hour of the program to bring in one related topic and one utterly unrelated topic. Are you ready? Okay. So, first of all, have you had experiences with breast cancer as a patient or as somebody in love with a breast cancer person? And I will tell you that in my life, it's almost like the rule rather than the exception with women that I have known over the years. It's kind of freaky how many people I personally know who have had breast cancer. And most of the people, well, all the people who are closest to me survived. Some of those on the periphery did not survive. So obviously, look, it's something that I take very seriously. And, you know, because for some of you, people close to you did not survive and did not make it. So that is one issue that we're getting into today. And one of the things that that always interests me is how come you went to the doctor to have your breasts examined? And my suspicion, and look, I could be wrong about this. My suspicion is that most of you who were diagnosed with breast cancer probably went to the doctor or the imaging place when a friend of yours or a family member of yours said, you're never going to believe this, I've got stage 3 or stage 4 breast cancer. Because that can put the fear of God into anybody. All right, so I'm kind of curious as to, was it a routine screening? Was it breast self-exam? Was it because a family member or a friend of yours had it? What got you to the doctor? I mean, to me, that is of great interest because I think back to the show we did about cancer in general. And as I mentioned a short while ago, the number of people we had on during the cancer show who had their colon cancer detected by a routine colonoscopy, that was the single biggest takeaway from 4 hours of talking about cancer. The number of people alive today because they got colonoscopies. And look, nobody likes the prep before a colonoscopy. All right? My advice, bring a pillow and a blanket into the bathroom and sleep in the bathroom because you are not going to get much sleep the night before the colonoscopy. And depends, might not be a bad idea. I'm just saying, 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I've got something else, too, along these lines that I would like to whip out for your calling pleasure or to allow you to vent your frustrations without, and I cannot emphasize this, I cannot emphasize this enough. No names of doctors, no names of hospitals, no names of insurance companies. In fact, no names whatsoever. The healthcare bureaucracy. Have you run into the healthcare bureaucracy? For example, treatments you should have been able to receive got denied. It might be something as stupid as going for pre-surgical screening and the doctor never faxed the scripts over for you to get your pre-surgical screening. Oh, that's a lot of fun, isn't it? Standing in the hospital waiting to get your x-rays and your EKGs and your blood work and realizing, hey, they didn't do what they were supposed to do, and here I sit with my in the wind. That does happen. Have you had close encounters with the healthcare bureaucracy? And the third topic that I want to bring up has absolutely zero to do with the other two topics. Pickleball. Are you in or are you out? Some people believe that pickleball is almost a cult-like situation. I do not believe pickleball is a cult-like situation. I think pickleball is a very cool sport. Have I played it myself? No, I have not. Am I likely to play it? We'll see. Not like I thought I was going to, but we will see. I'll tell you one thing, if I did play pickleball, absolutely would wear eye protection. Believe me, the past year has taught me, do not mess around with the eyes. They're very important. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. So the whole pickleball thing, I find absolutely fascinating because pickleball came from nowhere. And the best way to describe pickleball for me is, you ever play ping pong, table tennis, like Forrest Gump? And yeah, you have a racket, I think that's what you call it, maybe a paddle, that is kind of like a ping pong paddle, but it's a lot bigger. And what you do is you bat something that is kind of like a wiffle ball over a net. So it's kind of like tennis. In a way, it's kind of like badminton, but at a slower pace. And it is extremely popular, like very, very popular. So you wouldn't, quite frankly, is pickleball a game changer? Is it just a craze? Is it stupid? I think pickleball is a pretty fun thing. It looks awfully fun. And I know that people think that pickleball is just for old farts, but it really isn't. I've seen people play. We have a guy at work who's very talented at pickleball and very talented at his job. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Now, personally, I happen to believe that running is a cult. That's only because I don't have runner's legs. You understand that, right? 803-0930. Got these short little stumps. 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. So I've laid out a phenomenal hour for you, and your calls will simply serve to make it palatable. Here is Darlene in Orchard Park. Darlene, you are on WBEN. Welcome.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to mention I am a breast cancer survivor. I was diagnosed in October 2020 on a routine screening, and everything went fine. I'm doing well. I was fully taken care of. I had a lumpectomy followed by radiation, and I'm in good shape. I get checked out twice a year now. And I just want to mention the importance of getting that annual checkup, which I always did. And when I went and found out I had cancer, I was surprised. I hadn't noticed a lump or anything, but it had shown up. And one of the things I wanted to mention is if you have any changes in your breasts, make sure you get checked. It's not something everybody thinks about. I had a small minor change that I didn't think about was anything, and clearly it was something, and I maybe should have gotten checked a few months earlier, but I'm glad I go for the annual ones. I find it very important, and to encourage everybody and to follow up.
Darlene, it's interesting. I'm going to presume that you've not been listening to the entire program today, but you're the second person who has mentioned a change in odor. One of our callers in the first hour, one of the clues that she overlooked was a change in the scent of her urine. It became, I think she said, a sweet scent. And she thought it was just because her body was changing and getting older, when in fact, it likely was a precursor symptom, or, well, a symptom of something that was going on in her body. And she never associated a change in the odor of urine with cancer. And you're talking about a change in the scent of your breath. But, Darlene, just out of curiosity, none of us know really how our breath smells unless we do the like you do after you have garlic. How did you figure that out?
Well, actually, so for me, Tom, it was a change in my nipple, okay? Not the odor. I apologize for not saying that, but it was a change in my nipple. I had a lazy nipple. I didn't think anything of it. It was a little different than the other nipple, and I just thought, I'm older, these things happen. But it turned out that's where my lump was. And you didn't necessarily notice it. It was tiny under the nipple. But the nipple change was something I should have gone and gotten checked maybe a few months earlier when it showed up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I totally mentioned that. Yeah.
I totally misheard you. I thought you said breath, as in, you know, in and out breath.
I
did not know you said breast. I'm sorry. And I've got headphones on. Sorry about
that. That's okay. The change in the nipple. And you might not think it's anything. And it was like I say, it was just lazy. I'll put it that way, and it was different than the other one. I didn't think anything of it, but I should have gone in a couple months earlier and said, hey, could this be something? And they probably just would have said, let's get a mammogram and check it out, and I was totally good. But if you get your things checked regularly, I think women are in good shape. There's a 99% survival rate now if you're checked and they can catch it early, and that's important.
That's the whole key. Darlene, if you can hold on through the traffic, there's a lot of things I'd like to talk with you about on News Radio 930 WBEN. One of the topics we're talking about is breast cancer. It is October, and I take this topic extremely seriously for the reasons I have mentioned beforehand. And we're talking with Darlene on News Radio 930 WBEN. Darlene, question number one, did you have a family history of known breast cancer?
My mother had breast cancer, but let me explain this. And she did die of it 10 years earlier at age 73. She was diagnosed with it in her 40s, and she was one of the women that early on had that hormone replacement therapy and was on it a long time, maybe 12 years. They know now that women can't be on it a long time. And they don't recommend that anymore, but they found out, unfortunately, in my mother's case, if you're at that point, and I'm just qualifying, all that therapy might have changed by now. This was 30 years ago. At that point, if you were on it 10 years, there was a high incidence of cancer they found from that therapy, and I know they made changes as a result of that. My mom was fine, but it did come back 15 years later, and ultimately was combined with other cancer in her body. She had liver cancer. It spread to her liver before they caught it, unfortunately. But the good news is I always had my checks because of it, felt I was in good shape. But I did want to mention about the nipple and that I hadn't felt a lump and that was a change. One nipple appeared different than the other one, and I didn't think anything of it. But it is any change in your breast, you should go get checked. It doesn't cost anything. It's covered across all health insurance plans, I believe, and per New York State. So take the time and get checked.
I was going to say, probably not mine, but that's a different story. Okay, but what I was going to ask you also, Darlene, I want you to be very, very honest.
Sure.
You noticed that you had a lazy nipple. So things changed in your breasts. How much of your delay was caused by some kind of inner denial and possible fear, especially knowing what your mother had experienced? Do you believe that denial was part of your procrastination?
Well, and I will also say yes. I will also say it was COVID, right? There was a lot of things. You weren't getting into the hospital for stuff. You weren't, and I'm not saying they weren't doing checks then. They still were. But in general, so many other things were going on that I just probably wasn't doing some of that. I was still sticking with my normal physical, my normal annual checkup. But other than that, yeah, I think there was some denial that really can't be me. I've been good. I'm not feeling anything. I don't need to get checked any earlier. Now, I will tell you, even though I'm clear for 3 years, twice now I felt a change within my breast, and I just went and got checked right away. And both times they said, yes, that's not a signal, but anytime you're feeling nervous, come in. We'll check you early anyway and get you in for your mammogram. Right. They'll pull it forward if they, you know, just to make sure nothing is going wrong. So I'm a little more conscious. I do think I probably didn't go in because there was denial. It can't, you know, I've been good. I'm not like my mom was. I didn't go on hormone replacement therapy. I'm good. And, you know, again, all fallacies. Anybody can get it for any reason and, you know, go get checked. And the other thing, one more thing can I say about insurance? I give this talk to at my colleagues at work. Every year when it comes up and you look at your plan to renew and what one to choose, and we all have to plan it based on our coverage and what we can afford. But I will say I always took the premium care for myself, and that I always looked at it that, you know what, I got to pay out of pocket and this and that. And I remind people, if you have an illness that comes in like cancer and you suddenly get hit with deductible and out of pocket and your cost, to look at that and think about what that might be for you and make sure you either have that money set aside or select a better plan that keeps your costs a little bit lower. People don't think about it. They have the it's not me mentality and I can just take the basic plan and I won't get hurt. But the difference at my place, basic plan, you could pay $13,000 out of pocket. I paid $2,100.
Understood.
So, And it's a lot of money, and you've got to be prepared.
Darlene, I thank you very much for the call, and I could not agree with you more on what you just said. Thank you very kindly. I appreciate hearing from you. A lot of great calls today. Let's keep them coming up. This is a bad time to call because we're going to be heading into the news, but once Tom Puckett slides into the commercials during the 5:30 news, we will hear from you on WBEN on three different topics. If you don't know what they are, don't worry. I'll babble endlessly about them after the news at 5:30. This was not quite the version I'd wanted. Tanner, this needs a make-do. It would be Bob Dylan and the Band, and it's a live version of the song I gave you during the break. I should have been more clear about that. I'm sorry, but I need to hear it, and I need to subject people to the song. I'm sorry, but I'm just on a Bob Dylan tear, which is probably not a good sign for Bob Dylan's longevity, but, you know, I wish him nothing but the best, especially after that little escapade. Did you track it down yet? Starts off with a kind of neat little guitar thing. Tanner's looking.
Tanner's looking. I am.
Okay, you didn't find it yet, though. Okay, well, maybe we'll do it tomorrow. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. I was so excited to share that with you, and now I don't get to. By the way, if you're just joining us, welcome. Talking about, and I still have time to take your telephone call if you get in bright and early, breast cancer. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which I think is a good thing. And I usually talk about it every October. And I usually say the same thing every October, that I'm not really down with all the pink. Wear pink to support breast cancer. And because the way I look at it, I try to look forward. And I think if I had breast cancer, and there's a 1 in 1,000 chance a man is going to be diagnosed with breast cancer as well as a woman. Women, it's much higher. Do not misunderstand what I'm saying. But it's possible. But, you know, I don't need reminders of trauma in life in order to know that there is trauma in life. And I think if I was a woman and I was a breast cancer survivor, I would be as militant as some of the women I know who have survived breast cancer who don't want anything to do with pink. It's like, why would I want to relive that? I'm aware of what happened. I'm staying on top of what I'm supposed to do. I don't want people giving me pink pencils and pink T-shirts and everything like that. And honestly, I am on their side. I know enough women who have survived breast cancer to say that look, I don't think there's any doubt. I take this very seriously, but the whole pink thing, I really have, I don't even have mixed emotions. I side with the militant women I know. All right, did I say militant? I meant just very strong and opinionated women I know. Now, have you had an experience with breast cancer? It could have been your wife, your girlfriend, yourself. Could have been your mom. Our very first caller today lost his mom at like 8, 9 years old, and she was only in her 30s, I believe, and that was many, many years ago. One of the things that I'm interested in knowing is, okay, for those of you who survived breast cancer, what prompted you to go to the doctor or imaging place to get your imaging done and to actually investigate, do I have breast cancer? Because for as prominent a role as breast cancer plays during the month of October, I happen to believe that most things that we tend to take seriously in life are things we take seriously because somebody in our family or a close friend has something. For example, there was an individual, and I will not obviously name this individual, who was quite young and noticed blood where blood ought not to be after using the bathroom. And he put off and put off and put off getting a colonoscopy. By the time he did, guess what? It was too late, and he was dead within a month of colorectal cancer. All the signs were there, but he didn't do anything. So the people who knew this guy, pretty much everybody went and got a colonoscopy because they were scared. Well, yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. They were very trepidatious about it because suddenly it becomes real. Okay, right now, like Breast Cancer Awareness Month, unless you've been there, it's abstract, it's nebulous, cloud-like. But when it hits you right in the solar plexus or the hyoid bone or the xiphoid process, whatever, which is not fun, it suddenly resonates. Wow, this is a real thing. What is your experience with breast cancer? 803-0930, *930. And 1-800-616-WBEN. Also, my loves, the other thing is your, do you have any headaches with the healthcare system? I mean, we could do a whole show on this, and maybe I'm being a little bit unfair and maybe downright stupid for whipping it out right now. But what is your biggest aggravation with healthcare? I mean, I'll tell you, it's a couple of things that I don't like, all right? I don't like when I'm told that things are going to be in place, and then I show up somewhere and they're not in place because I don't like waiting. I'm any more than you do. It's not that my time is so valuable, but you know, I've got X number of hours every day to monkey around with stuff, and I don't feel like waiting around for somebody to do what they already should have done. That's a major headache. The other thing too. How many of you have gotten your pre-registration from the doctor's office? Pre-register. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed, really. Not since the last 2 weeks when I saw you last. And then the ubiquitous satisfaction survey. Everybody wants a survey satisfaction. It doesn't matter what you do. You bring the car in for an oil change. How did we do? It was an oil change. It wasn't a brake job. It was an oil change. I'm not going to rate the oil change. Stop it now. Stop it with the surveys. And the other thing is, too, in the mail, every now and again, you get these surveys, and they enclose a dollar bill. Well, if it's a 5-page survey and you get a dollar bill, you know what? I'll tell you, I use two words, and I throw the survey out, and I keep the dollar bill. I'm not going to tell you what two words they are, but I'm pretty sure you can guess. The other topic that I'm hoping I get some action on this, I really am, pickleball. Are you in or are you out of pickleball? How many of you play pickleball? Totally different than the other two topics, but I want your calls on pickleball. I must be honest, I hope to play pickleball at some point, and pickleball is kind of like tennis, except you bat around something that is about the size and weight of a wiffle ball. Remember the plastic baseball bat and the wiffle ball? Okay, so you bat that over a net, and you use a paddle, I think it's called a paddle, which is kind of like a ping pong paddle, just about three times as big. And pickleball is sweeping the bloody country, okay? It is everywhere. In fact, I mean, there's a local badminton club, and they've actually, I think, taken away a couple of the badminton courts and replaced them with pickleball courts. And I saw one of my coworkers, who shall remain unnamed, playing pickleball. And all I can tell you is I would never want to play against him at pickleball because he would clean my clock. And I'll tell you something else. It amazes me the number of people I see. And again, our impressions of life are based upon what has happened in the preceding years and months of our lives. Do you agree with that? Like how you feel today and things you do today are based upon experiential learning. And one of the things that I will do, should I take up pickleball, which that'll be fun, but should I take it up, I absolutely am going to wear eye protection. Because, again, you don't realize how important your eyesight is until you lose it or are at great risk of losing it. And I'm happy to tell you, and I'll mention this for those who might not have heard it in previous programs, my retina was totally off of the right eye, okay? And I thought I'd be lucky 20/50 corrected vision. Instead, non-corrected vision, it's 20/25. And the doctors say, you are an outlier. You just got a great result. And I was like, wow. I mean, you know what? I'll take it because it's much better than I ever thought. I thought I might actually go blind in the right eye. So I'm pretty happy about that. And also, let me just, I'm not a physician. Are we on the same page? I mean, no, I'm not a physician, obviously. What if I get in trouble if I called myself doctor? But, yeah, I would. But anyway, let me just backtrack. When the time comes for you to get your cataract surgery, you are going to be given an option. The one option most insurances will cover all or most of. Don't do that one. If you've got the money, you get the best lens you possibly can get when you have your cataract surgery, and go for the laser cataract surgery if your doctor says for you that is an option. I've had both eyes done right now, and do you know, true story, I can't tell you the last time I've needed reading glasses. They're sitting on the desk in front of me right now. I don't need them because the lenses adjust for distance and they adjust for up close, and the only time I need a magnifying glass is when I use the men's room. Now, the only time I use the magnifying glass now is if I'm reading small print in the dark, which doesn't really happen all that much. But anyway, again, not a physician, but these are just some thoughts that have entered my mind. I would love to hear from pickleball players, man. Like, when did you start playing pickleball? I hadn't heard of pickleball until about 3 years ago. And when I first heard about it, nobody was playing. Now it seems like everybody is playing. But I would like somebody to teach me how to play pickleball. But again, I'm going to look like the geek. I'm going to have the safety glasses on because you don't mess around with eyesight. And believe me, I'll be the guy playing doubles who gets whacked in the eye with a paddle, or I'll have the ball hit me directly in the eye, probably the right eye, re-detaching the retina, causing me to lose my vision. Don't you like the positive, cheery outlook I have on life? Of course you do. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. We've got a trio of awesome topics, if I say so myself. All right, loves, let's get back to the calls, shall we? And it's, oh, this is awesome. Jeff in Kenmore. Jeff, welcome. Are you going to talk about pickleball?
Yep, I sure am.
No. Making my day.
So, yeah. You know, we just, you know, my father says, you know, hey, we're playing pickleball. He bought us a net, paddle, ball, you know, those wiffle ball or, you know, whatever the pickleballs are. And so we just set it up in the backyard and driveway, mark off a little area, and we play. It's semi-competitive, you know, the goal is to keep it going, not even really, I guess, play. You know, we have the little kitchen area where you don't go into it. You know, we try to play somewhat by the rules. And, you know, I'm 50, and my father, who's 80, and my stepmother, they play. In fact, they painted the lines in their driveway and set the net up, and they play. So it's not like they play like super competitive, but she goes to the Y and she plays at the Y by ECC North.
Yeah.
And you know she works there a little bit and she plays. So I don't know. I just think it's fun, you know. And you know we play. I don't have to go somewhere and pay to play. You know, it was an Amazon net or something he got me. I don't know what it was, but it's fun.
For those who don't know pickleball, because, you know, we have a lot of people who don't get out much who listen to the show, apparently. But for those who don't play pickleball, am I safe in saying it's kind of a slowed down version of tennis and table tennis?
Yeah, tennis and ping pong kind of combo, you know,
yeah.
And it's good. I mean, don't be wrong. I mean, I feel like my neighbors, you know, sometimes we hit this ball and it's flying over in their yard. But, sure. You know, it's. You know, and then for gifts, you know, what is he doing? He's buying us new pickleballs because we lose them, or you know, my brother-in-law's dog will come over and the dog will find the ball and love it.
Oh yeah, they'll chew the hell out of the pickleballs.
Right. But I'm just saying, I don't make, you know, you could be as competitive as you want with it. So I think if you bought a kit and started out and just put it in the yard and put some tape on the ground or made little marks and, you know, use the driveway lines as temporary. It doesn't have to be official until you get used to playing, and then you can go play, you know, because then you're getting more of the familiarity with hitting the ball back and forth. It's fun, you know.
Dude, I got to tell you, I've watched people play it. I've experimented with it just briefly in a driveway, and I thought, wow, I really would like to play this sport. This is something I think I'd be good at doing.
Right.
If you are good at tennis and you are good at ping pong, does it follow naturally that you would be good at pickleball?
Yes. It's not that bad. I mean, I was, and my wife's not, you know, I mean, she's, you know, she plays sport. You know, we play sports sometimes. You know, I would say she's not the most athletic, but she plays fine. You know, we go back and forth, and then we get competitive, you know, and then we're like, okay, you know, we play a couple rounds of 25. I don't even know if that's the right number. We just make up our own, I don't know.
Like Monopoly, everybody makes up their own rules.
If I play, go on. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, you got to look up the rules on YouTube. I'm sure they're easy enough to follow with enough people playing pickleball.
Sure.
But thank you very much, and good luck with your competitive family.
Yes. All right, thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you. Thank you very much. Has anybody ever thought that you're really good at a sport like table tennis, and then you play somebody who is Olympic-quality table tennis? You ever been embarrassed that way where you call for mercy? It's happened to me more than once. All right, hey, ladies and gentlemen, loves in the audience, thank you so much for all of the phone calls today. For those of you who are dealing with breast cancer, we're thinking of you. For all of those of you who have survived breast cancer, applause. And we will be back tomorrow from 2 until 6 on News Radio 930 WBEN. David Bellavia precedes this show from 10 until 2. BMAZ and Beamer, 9 until 10. And start off your day with Buffalo Broadcast Hall of Famer Susan Rose and Brian Mazurowski and A New Morning, all the news you need, 5 until 9. Well, Kevin McCarthy is no longer Speaker of the House. Tom Puckett has that information and more on Buffalo's Evening News coming up next on News Radio 930. What happened to Kevin McCarthy? We'll find out during the news at 6 on WBEN.